It's good to be here today. Really good. That reunion was 2 years ago in September. And it was a good day. But with Jesus, every day is a good day, isn't it? Sometimes it's a hard day, but it's a good day. But I want to say, you know, the reason we're here, not because we're invited. Well, because we're invited. But because you guys prayed. People like you and thousands of people around the world prayed for us. And that's why we're here. You have to understand there is no other reason. I mean, the government did their job and they worked hard and did all the things that they could do. But ultimately, the only reason we're here is because people prayed. I want to introduce you to our family. And we have four children, three grandchildren. That picture was taken the day I was released, deported, and landed in Vancouver. And God gave us 30 years in China. And then he decided he was going to give us two bonus years. You're laughing. You think of a turkey at Christmas. That's your bonus, right? But God decided to give us 775 days as a bonus because he was intimately involved in those days. It's not like he said, oops, they're in prison. I'll come back later. No, he was intimately involved in all that went on. And that day that we were taken, August 4th, 2014, 4 years ago, as you heard in the video, we were taken to this remote compound. But before that happened, I went back to our apartment. I was taken back to our apartment. And there were 18 security people. How do I know that? I counted. Because I thought, this can't be. And I looked around me, and they made me kind of march. They had a camera, you know, kind of making it like a prisoner parade sort of thing. And I counted. I thought, 18 people, wow. At least I'm safe. And at the end of the night, which was 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, after they completely ransacked the apartment, they said, get some clothes for you and Julia. So I did. I actually grabbed some of our daughter's clothes by mistake. I wasn't quite on the ball that night. But then I grabbed our Bibles as well. And the main guy who was in ransacking our apartment, I guess you call him the main ransacker. I don't know if he had a card for that, but he said to me, you can't take those. And I just stood up to him, and I know it was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And I just said, that's not very nice of you. You understand nothing was nice, right? So after a bit of discussion, he said, okay. You can have your Bibles. So from day one, we had our Bibles. You know, the interesting thing is, the Bible I grabbed was not my Bible. And what I mean by that is, I don't know where it came from. It was a study Bible. It had hardly been used. And there was almost not a mark in it. And it had somebody else's name on it. And to this day, I don't know where that Bible came from. But it was a thicker Bible, and it was a great thing. But God put it there for that day. And it was a long story about that, but that was amazing. But let me read you a story from the Bible, because you realize our story is not new, right? It's a new version. But it's a story that God's been writing for a long time, and he's written for many people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and then 8 to 11. Paul says, so the church of God at Mount Olive, I always love it because people don't question me on that translation. It says Corinth, right? But he's speaking to us because God always speaks to us. His word is living and active. It's not an old book. It's a new book that is living and active today. And so you can read it to the church of God at Mount Olive. And verse 8 goes on to say, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the troubles and hardships we experience in the province of Asia. We're under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so they spared even of life itself. You know, when people keep saying we might execute you, it kind of gets to you, especially when you know they can and they do. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this is the key. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. We cannot rely upon ourselves. We could not rely upon ourselves in prison. We can't do it today either, and neither can you. Because if we do, we fail. But if we trust in Jesus, we put our hope in him, it's okay. Doesn't mean it's easy. Just means it's good. Because God intends these things for good. You know, during those 775 days, how long is that? 2 years, 1 month, 11 days, and a few hours. It's actually 18,640 hours. It's actually 1,116,000, no, we won't go on. I kept track. I guess you do in those kind of situations. But you know, I called out to God many, many times during those days. You know what God does when you call out to him? He answers. Doesn't matter whether you call him once a day or once a minute. He answers. Now, he didn't answer with the prayer I was expecting and hoping for, but he would answer with a psalm. He'd answer with a song or a verse. He would answer with that peace that surpasses all understanding because he knew what was needed for that moment. And he continues to do that today if we call. He continues to do that. And I read things like Psalm 46:1, where it says, he's ever present in times of trouble. Just take the first two words, ever present. Because that's what he is. He's ever present. I read things like John 5:17. Jesus said, my Father is always at work, and I too am working. If God is ever present, and if he's always working, what are we concerned about? Yeah, we're going to have some trouble, I know that. But if he's ever present and always working, it's going to be okay. God is who he says he is. God does what he says he will do. You know, those first 6 months, being interrogated every day for hours a day, isolated in a remote compound, 50 to 60 guards for the two of us, 24/7 lights, it wasn't nice. And you're asking the question, because I did, why were there 50 to 60 guards just for the two of us? Were dangerous. And they'd watch way too many Jason Bourne movies. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. But we were safe, sort of. After 6 months of isolation and interrogation, because that's how it works in China, they isolate you, they interrogate you, then they put you in the judicial system, not before. After those 6 months, Julie was basically put on house arrest. Means no money, no ID, constant surveillance, reporting every time they called, doing whatever they said to do. It was not the China we knew for 30 years. And then I entered prison, that big gray building, dark gray building. There was no sign over it. But if there was, as you walked in the door, it would say, you are now entering hopelessness. Because that's what they make you feel. Nothing about reform. It's all about punishment. I walked in that place, and I walked in the cell 3118. There were 14 wooden cots lined up, seven on each side of the room, a very thin aisle in the middle, and almost no space between the cots. And that's where I spent the next 19 months. In that place, again, the lights are on 24/7. Everything you want, you must buy. You want a toothbrush? You have to buy it. You want food? You have to buy it. You want a bottle of water? You have to buy it. Money has to come from outside the prison to be put onto my account in order to live in prison. I wonder if our Canadian government could learn something about that. Might be good. Lots of people in there who didn't have money to live. You get very, very basic rations, essentially, if you're there. So we shared. It became like a little family in that prison cell, and you would share. But the interesting thing is, and you understand I had time in prison, right? Time where there was nothing to do. So I figured out that 28.4% of the time, there was no food to buy. That's one out of every third meal, basically, was not provided. But that's okay. Because there were bonuses in prison, too. We got free clothes. But I first got to that prison cell. There's a guy there. He's a doctor. Dr. Henry Gao, I called him. And first time I met him, he says, because my Chinese name is Kevin Gao, it would be. And he says, hey, we're brothers. Same last name? No, it didn't work. But he said to me something. He's trying to be really friendly, and everything's in Chinese because I'm the only foreigner in that prison. And he said to me, Kevin, just think of this as a long holiday. It was not Club Med, okay? I want you to know that. But a little later, he said to me, after he noticed that I would get up at 3 or 3:30 every morning to have my church of one, which is really a church of four, right? You understand that? He would say to me, Kevin, I think God's giving you a chance to study. A short time later, as he was being sent off to the big prison, he was sentenced to, went to court, was sentenced and convicted, because you're always convicted in China, to 5 years. He said to me, Kevin, I want to believe like you. What did John 5:17 say? My Father is always at work. You see, the way we lived in China, the way we operated was, we didn't stand on street corners and hand out tracts. We didn't do those things. But we prayed and we said, God, whatever we're doing, let people ask questions. That's the way I lived in prison too. Lord, let people ask questions. And Dr. Gao said, I want to believe like you. And these kind of things happened again and again. I alluded to the fact that in China, if you're arrested, you're guilty. 99.9% conviction rate, just because they're very good. Canada, just so you know, is 63%. Some of you are wondering, why were we taken? Why were we, out of all the other people in China, why were we arrested? Did you wonder? First of all, we are not spies, okay? As they said. Canada arrested a Chinese spy just a few weeks before we were taken. A week before we were taken, Minister John Baird accused the Chinese government of breaking into the National Research Council, which they did. They denied it. A week later, we were taken. We were taken because the Chinese government wanted to trade us for the actual spy who was arrested in Canada, who was later extradited to the U.S. and served almost 5 years in prison there. Canada doesn't trade. For 2 years, I knew nothing about this guy named Su Bin, who was arrested and then later sentenced. But God had a plan. You realize that, right? Paul, in Ephesians 3:1, what did he say? He says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. He was not a prisoner of Rome. We were not prisoners of the Chinese government. But God had a plan to place us there. He allowed this to happen so that his work, his word, and his plan would go forth. But we had to choose to join him in it. Because it's always a choice what God wants to do. We can choose to join him or not. So in those 19 months, some 80 or 90 people passed through my cell. Some were there for hours, some days, some weeks, some were there for months. God had a plan for this captive audience. Because he always does. If we let him work out his plan through us. There were petty thieves, there were drug addicts, there were mafia members, there were police officers. At that point, they were former police officers. At one point, I had 5 police officers in my cell. I thought, ooh, what is the police force like out there? 5 times, they were there. A couple of murderers passed through my cell. One guy who was really happy he killed someone. Because he owed him money. I thought, oh, he was only there a very short time. But God was at work, you see, because he always is. One day, a guy came to me, and he says, you know, you remind me of my mother. I was concerned. But then he said, you talk about that Jesus like my mother. Can you tell me about him? You see, when he was outside, he didn't want to know. But when he is in that hopelessness of the prison, he says, I want to know. And I got to talk to him. Many times, things like that happened. Not every day, but many times that happened. One time a guard, he took me out for the, we had consular visits once a month for 30 minutes. We had 30 minutes to convey information back and forth. I could not write anything down. I had to memorize whatever I wanted to say, and they would be able to give me messages back. So one time I go out, you get handcuffed, you get taken to another part of the prison, and there's a meeting room, and the guard says, as soon as I get in the hallway, and he puts the handcuffs on me, he says, I see you're reading the Bible. It was interesting, because he didn't say, I see you reading a book, what is it? He says, I see you reading a Bible. But then he said to me, my wife and daughter are Christians too. But what he was saying, because I understand how it works, he says, he was saying, I'm a Christian too, but I can't tell you that here. See, God has his people everywhere. And God is continually at work. Question for you. How can Jesus, the light of the world, as John 8:12 says, go into the darkness unless the light goes in? Unless we choose to go in, like go into the Congo. How can it go in unless we go? Or unless we're chosen to go? Because you understand, we didn't volunteer for prison, right? Would you? I don't see any hands. We don't. But you know, God will go to great lengths for people to hear about him. Because his desire, what is it? You know, 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God our Savior wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants. So he will go to great lengths for that to happen, and we get to choose to join him in what he's doing. It's going to be inconvenient, it might hurt, it might cost us, but it's worth it. Because the kingdom of God is being populated. And I said we didn't choose to be in prison, but we did. When we signed up with Jesus, we accepted him as Lord and Savior. We agreed to Luke 22:42. Read the fine print. It says, not my will, but yours be done. That's Jesus talking to the Father. But it's the same for us. We have to choose, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And we get the choice. And when we choose that, it's amazing. It's incredible. You know, but you can understand, I wrestled with God a little bit. Maybe more than a little bit. Because I would read things like Acts 12:7. You've read it before. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. The chains fell off his wrists. Gates open, and he walks out of prison. I thought, oh, yes, God, that I want that one. God said, that's not your story. I've got a different story for you. Because he says, I'm always at work. Join me. I know it's hard. I know it's painful. I know it's kind of inconvenient. But it's going to be good. And we get to choose. We can grumble and complain, or we can say, yes, Jesus, I accept. And it was incredibly painful, incredibly hard. Cried many times. One time I was feeling very down, and there was a little kind of a cage outside our cell. They were supposed to let us out twice a day, but that seldom happened. And one time they let us out, and it was, must have been in the spring sometime. And I was just upset. I was just feeling really despair. And I walked to the end of the little cage we had, and I just hung onto the bars, and I was just saying, God, I can't do this. And then I looked down in front of me. And in the darkness and drabness and grayness of that prison, there was a dandelion. And all of a sudden, everything changed when I saw that color. When I saw that little yellow, you call it a weed, right? I like them. Because God just changed my whole perspective by putting that there. See, the day before, it wasn't there. The day after, it wasn't there. But when I needed it, it was there. Shortly after that, I was reading in John 6:66-68, and Jesus is talking to his disciples about some hard stuff, and he says, you do not want to leave me too, do you? Peter's reply in John 6:68 says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We can say only you have the words of eternal life because only he does. And that's what we're aiming for, right? Is eternal life in Jesus. If only he has the words, then we need to listen to them. We couldn't rely upon anything except Jesus. But when we relied upon Jesus, we saw exactly who he is. He is who he says he is. He does what he says he will do. Always. And I kept seeing God at work. Again and again and again. One time I decided, I was reading in Daniel 10. You know, Daniel, what does he do? He decides to take a 3-week fast from any choice food. It's actually quite easy in prison to do that. So I decided, I'm going to fast for 3 weeks. I just felt God impress me to do that. So I set the date. I'm going to start March 1st. You know why? Because then the math is easy. 21 days later, I know it'll be the 21st of March. It happens sometimes, but not often. Some nice food came on March 1st. Didn't happen often. And I said, I'll start tomorrow. I actually didn't start till March 4th, and I was a little upset with myself. But I started. And the prison's just a little concerned, because they're responsible for me. If anything happens, they pay the price. And I said, no, it's just, you know, it's just fasting. It's not a hunger strike. It's not that. About 10 days in, something like that, 10 or 11 days in, I said, I felt like I could eat a boiled egg. I don't know why I thought that. I thought, but the only way to get boiled eggs in prison was you have to ask the guard. And the guard has to ask the kitchen. The kitchen has to talk to the chicken, right? I mean, anyways. But you have to order 100 at a time. And so the whole cell has to agree. You know, it's because I can't eat 100 boiled eggs. So we split them. And we do this once in a while, not very often. And I thought, no, I'm fasting. I'm not going to. An hour later, the kitchen came by selling boiled eggs. That's the first and only time it happened in those 19 months. Because my father is always at work, and he decided I needed a boiled egg. He's always at work. Another time, the day of my trial, April 20th, 2016, got up 3 or 3:30 in the morning, because God always woke me up. I didn't have an alarm clock. The lights are always on, so you're not, you know, turning something on to wake people up. So I got up that day, and I just opened my Bible to where I was reading. And I had plans of what I would do every day. I had a routine in prison that helps you survive. So I opened my Bible, and where I was happened to be Psalm 23. That was the first place I turned. Even though I walked through the valley of shadow of death, what does it say? I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. He said it again and again. He says, I'm ever present. He says, I'm with you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, don't fear. I feared. But he says, don't. And I felt God's presence strongly, strongly with me. Then I opened up a devotional book that I had because I was allowed to have books in prison. The Canadian Embassy pushed for that. So I would, lots of books every month. I opened up a devotional book that I had. You understand, there's a 99.9% conviction rate, right? So I'm guilty. Doesn't matter what about the trial. When you go to trial in China, I learned the decision's already made. It really doesn't matter about the trial. I opened that devotional book, and the title for that day said, Not Guilty. How amazing of God that he would speak to a man years before to write that devotional book called Sparkling Gems. And on that day, he would decide, on April 20th, he would title it Not Guilty, and it was about Jesus before Pilate. How amazing of God. You know why? Because my Father is always at work. Whether we see it, feel him, or know it, he is always at work. Not just in prison, here, today, now. And every moment from now forward, he's at work. And he's been at work and he will continue to be at work for a long time, till the end of time. You know, Joseph said to his brothers, says something very interesting. What happened to Joseph? Sold into slavery, thrown into prison, unjustly accused, right? Spent a few years in prison, maybe 7. He gets out, saves his family by feeding them. Then his father, Jacob, dies. And his brothers are just a little concerned. Now Joseph's going to get us, right? Now he's going to take revenge on us because we sold him into slavery. But what does he say? He says, no, you intended to harm me, but God meant it for good. Because he always means it for good. And that verse goes on to say, for the saving of many lives. Because you see, God always has a plan and a purpose. And his plan and purpose is to save people so that they can enter the kingdom of heaven. And he will do it through each one of us all the time. But we have to let him. We have to choose every day. Joshua said, I choose you this day whom you will serve. That choice is not a one-time choice. Yeah, we make the decision to follow Jesus one time, but every time, we get to choose again. I got up every morning and I had to say, God, I choose again to follow you. In the pain, in the discomfort, in the suffering, I choose to follow you again. We get to choose. You get to choose every day. You know, we lost everything in those 775 days. They confiscated everything, bank accounts, money, quite a bit of money that we had set aside for work in North Korea. People had just brought some money in for an orphanage and different projects we were going to do there. They took everything. They decluttered us, you could say. So if you need any help in decluttering, we know some people, okay, who can help. But God chose. He chose us to work with the Ministry of State Security, the FBI of China. He chose us to go into that prison, to be a witness to those guards and those prisoners. He chose us to be a witness to the Canadian government and the officials who came. He chose that. And we get to choose every day to let him work through us. And in the most painful moments, he shows himself present. He shows himself real and active because he is. But he warns us about this too, right? 2 Corinthians 4:17, you're going to have some light and momentary troubles. Do you remember Paul's light and momentary troubles? Name me a couple. Prison, shipwreck, nakedness, whipped, beaten. Just some light and momentary troubles, right? But then he says to us what? The very next verse, he says, so we fix our eyes not in what is seen, but what is unseen. We fix our eyes not in what is felt or heard, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's what we focus on. And I had to do it again and again and again. I had to choose to focus on Jesus, to focus on what he was doing. Now, understand this. I don't want to repeat prison. But I wouldn't change it either. Because I saw God in a very different way. That he's at work always. And we get to choose to follow him and join him in it. He's at work in your life and the people around you. I want to remind you of something as I end in a moment. That those bonus years God meant for good. The trouble you're going through, the pain you're going through, God intends it for good. A couple things we've learned and continue to learn. One is, God is always at work. Remember that, John 5:17. God is always present, Psalm 46:1. We can't rely upon ourselves, 1 Corinthians 1:9. Only God has the words of eternal life, John 6:68. And last, God meant it for good. Genesis 50, verse 20. I want you to remember those. I want you to remember one more thing. Everyone must hear. And God has chosen us to tell everyone. I don't mean you have to tell everyone in the world. I mean, in your circle, God has placed you there for a purpose and a reason to be a witness in that place, no matter where you are. He's placed you in that place, and you get to choose. You get to choose every morning. You wake up and say, God, I choose to follow you today. Try it. See what God does. Some of you might not know Jesus. You need to know him today. You can know him today. I just want to close in prayer. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you are Lord of heaven and earth. You are the creator of heaven and earth, Lord. And we have that privilege to know you. Many of us here, most of us here have made that decision to follow you, Lord, but there may be one or two who have not. So, Lord, I just pray you'll speak to their hearts and they get to choose to follow you today, to become a child of God, to put everything in the past behind because that's what you do, Lord, and to follow you. You get to choose. And God, you will welcome every person who accepts that invitation from you. I thank you, Lord, that I am who you say you are, who I am, and you are who you say you are. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your reality. We thank you that you're always at work and that you're always present in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. In these few short moments, we can't share all the things that went on. But we're coming back tonight. And so you get to hear the better half tonight, okay? And you get to ask questions. Easy questions, okay? But anything you want to ask, please come tonight. And we are writing a book. Should be ready by the end of November. If you want to hear more or follow more of what's going on, there's a sign-up sheet in the other room. And we look forward to seeing you tonight. Amen.
I'm just going to pray for these folks before we all blast off. But I also wanted you get to see Julia so that you know who's speaking to us tonight, okay? So come out to hear Julia tonight. I just want to pray for you guys for strengthening and energizing. You're away from home. You're in a strange little place called Three Hills.
Found the Three Hills in Three Hills.
Yeah, I know. You got to look really hard. Yeah. But anyway, we have it in some pictures. Anyway, let me pray for you guys. Father, thanks for our brothers and sister, Kevin and Julia, who came to us today to share what you allowed to happen in their lives. And thank you that they realized that their father is always at work, and that they were willing to just be there so that they could be used. God had a plan, and he meant it for good. So I thank you for their hearts, that they turned what was meant for evil into something you were able to exploit into good to touch people's lives. Be with them this afternoon. Give them rest and relaxation to prepare for speaking again tonight. And Father, with us, help us to ponder what we've heard, the fact that you're always at work, and you just want us to be willing to be used. So we give thanks to you. You are our great God, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.